All right, thank you, Steve. And in case you don't know, Steve didn't get saved until later in life, and he, like all of us, he still got some rough spots, but you know, I think that's great as we move to talk about revival. If you just look at the life of people around you, you can see where God has already begun to work. I mean, just look at them. Study the lives of other people. And that's what I want us to do today. I want us to talk about how we're going to be, during this time of revival, a church that's not focused on ourselves, a church that's not the way that we do church isn't an idol to us, but that we get outside and we focus on other people. Just like God focuses on people all day long, every day. If you would, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, beginning verse 43. And this should be a very familiar passage to all of us because it's Jesus talking about his famous Sermon on the Mount. And he goes through all these different commands. Don't lust. Don't get divorced. Don't swear false oaths. Leave vengeance up to the Lord. And then he gets to verse 43 and in the following. It says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil, on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Or another way to read that, to translate that, would be, "You must be complete as your heavenly Father is complete." You know, if we look through Scripture, and we just got done celebrating Christmas, God is a God who comes down to us. You know, he's not the God of the Bible is a God who comes down to us. He's not the God of Islam that you have to keep certain rules so that you can get to him. And a lot of times, even Christians, we get that backwards. We think we have to live a certain way, act a certain way, so that we can somehow get to God. You know, he's not the God of Buddhists who somehow you have to detach yourself from the world to be a part of God. No, the God of the Bible, the story of the Bible, is that God is one who comes to greet people. Think about that. God made Adam and Eve and was with Adam and Eve in perfect fellowship. And the story we get in the Bible is that after they sinned, Adam and Eve ran away from God. And it wasn't somehow by their own effort that Adam and Eve got God to pay attention to them. No, God, we read all along in Genesis, was paying attention to them. And when they sinned, it was God who went down to meet them. He didn't sit there and say, "No, you come to me." No, God went down to meet with them. We see that God called Abraham in the whole story of Israel, that God is a God who wants to be with his people, who wants to dwell with them, who wants to be among them. And we see that most powerfully in Scripture in the incarnation, the coming of God in the form of Jesus, that Jesus is one who gives up the glory, the power, the goodness that's in heaven to come down and to meet with us. And we read in these verses that if we are to be like God, we have to be willing to do the same, to be Christians who go out and greet people that maybe we wouldn't normally want to greet. That Christians, we go out and we love people that normally we wouldn't want to love on. I want you to read these verses with me again. Verse 45, "So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." In other words, God treats everybody the same. God treats everybody the same up to a certain point. All right, obviously lost people can't be sons and daughters of God in the same way as a saved person can. They can't be princes and princesses of God. They can't be inheritors of the kingdom. But when God is looking down on earth, and we're told in the Bible that God is constantly mindful of his creation. And if he stopped thinking about it, if he stopped undergirding it, even for just a second, it would cease to exist. God is constantly aware of the people on this planet, every single one of them. And he treats them all by providing them food, by providing them water, by providing them with shelter. And it's our fault when people don't get that because we abuse the stuff that he's given us. But God treats everybody the same. Verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? I want to ask you this morning, before we prepare to go into a time of revival, who do you love? Who do you really love? When you go into a grocery store and you're standing next to somebody, do you love that person like God loves that person? When you're driving down the highway and somebody gets right on the tail of your car because they want you to know that you need to speed up, do you love that person like God loves that person? I don't always. I slam on the brakes. All right, get off me. All right, I'm going to go as slow as the car next to me. Get used to it. You're not in charge. I'm in charge. All right? Because we don't love people all the time like God loves people. And look at what it says down here. If you greet only your brothers, greet only the people that are close to you, you're not doing any more than a lost person. You're not doing any more than somebody who doesn't know Christ. In fact, matter of fact, I recall when I was in high school going through a period where I doubted my faith, that oftentimes lost people treated me nicer, were more compassionate to me, were more kind to me, listened more to me than people in my church, than people in my youth group. I remember a time in my life when one of my older sisters decided to be rebellious, and she sinned against the Lord, and everybody found out about it. And I remember for a fact that lost people had more of a compassion about her situation than some of the people in our own youth group who would talk bad about her, who when she came to church would not even shake her hand because they didn't have the love of Christ. You know, there's a bunch of different ways to greet people. I've written some down. Hi, howdy, hello, how's it going, hey, what's up, bro? All right, I like to throw that in every now and then. Or if you're around in the late 90s, what's up? Okay, if you remember that, that's a long time ago. But there's a lot of different ways to greet people that we find around the world, you know, and I experienced this a little bit as a missionary kid. We say good morning, we say good afternoon, but when I was on the mission field living in Barbados, at nighttime, to say hello to somebody, you said good night. And that took some adjustment because we only say good night when it's like, I'm checked out, I'm going to bed, see you later, okay? You have a good one. But they said good night to say hello. All right, in Benin, is that right? Benin, thank you, wife. I mean, love of my life. Okay, what they do is oftentimes, and y'all can try this, I actually want y'all to try this, this will be fun. Shake hands with the person next to you, okay? Not everybody at once. Shake hands with the person next to you, all right? What they do to say hello is they shake hands and they snap the fingers of that person at the same time. Yeah, so there you go, all right? In Botswana, they just touch each other's hands like this. You don't shake, you just touch, all right? And they say, how did you wake, all right? Don't ask me that before like 10, okay? Because I don't want to talk to you. In a country called Bhutan, they ask each other, is your body well, okay? I don't think that would go over well sometimes, okay? Because my body's been working on being a plus-size model since about after Thanksgiving. So, you know, there you go. Is your body well? In Georgia, to say hello, they say, let you win. Let you win. In Mauritania, they say, on you no evil. Georgia is a country. It's not just a state, because I heard you kind of asking. It's okay. Geography. All right? In Swaziland, they'll go up to each other and say, I see you. In a country called, place called Tuvalu, they press their face to your cheek and they smell you. All right. Calvin Klein be making some money in that country. All right. Aftershave. And in Guyana, it's customary that when you meet somebody who's older than you, that you press your knuckles to their forehead. I don't recommend you go around doing that around here either, because if you come after me with your knuckles, I got a pocket knife. That's all I got to say. So we're gonna live. Life is gonna get real for both of us. All right. But there is no doubt a lot of ways that we say hello. But God is a God that greets us. God is a God that every day, the Bible says, his mercies are new. Every day, God is greeting you. You know, every day, God is there ready to say, good morning. Every day, God is there to say, how are you? You know, there's never been a day in my life, even though there's been days in my life where I've been disinterested in God, there's never been a day in my life where God has been disinterested in me. God wants to know us, and he wants to know us every day. And our question to ourselves is, do we show that same heart that God has to the people around us? You know, I went to college on a Christian campus named Ouachita Baptist, and it's in Arkansas, so my IQ lowered going to school. Not really. It was a great school. But I went to school at Ouachita Baptist, and we had this saying that was called the Ouachita Hello, okay? And everybody made fun of it. But the culture on campus was whenever you went by somebody, you always said hello because we were friendly, because we're Christians, okay? So we were friendly. But we made fun of the Ouachita Hello because nobody really wanted to know how you were doing. Nobody was really all that interested in what was going on. It was just the nice thing to say hi. You know, and here in our church, I don't want it to ever be to where we just get used to saying hi. To where we just get used to saying, how are you doing? But when people come into this place, realize that they might have something going on in their life, and maybe we need to take about 10 seconds out of ourselves to say, how are you doing? And maybe listen. We need to be a kind of church that is like God, that follows the commands of Scripture, that we are genuine and that we greet people. You know, whenever we have revival, and we're going to have it for a few nights, and I hope we have revival. You kind of have to be vibed first to be revived, just like you have to be refrigerated to be refrigerated. That's a deep thought, I know. But so we kind of have to be a live church if we're going to be revived again. That means that there's at least got to be a little bit of life in us. And what we're going to experience, I hope and I pray, with Ronnie Hill coming in, whenever Ronnie Hill comes and does his thing, man, I've just seen God use him in a special way. He just has that blessing from the Lord to be an evangelist, you know, in a mighty way. But what that means is, I hope, is that there's going to be a lot of lost people coming in here. A lot. And praise God, they're not going to act like us. Praise God, they're not going to be like us. Just like you should praise God that you're not like me. And you should praise God that you don't act like me. You know, God made all kinds of people. All kinds of people that are different. And there's going to be lost people coming through our doors who don't know the first thing about God. Who don't know the first thing about the gospel. You know, and as a result, they don't know how they're supposed to live for God or live with the gospel. You know, and the last thing that we need is for somebody to go up to a lost person and say, you know what? You take off your hat while you're in here. Or you know what? You take out that piercing while you're in here. Or you know what? You better stop cussing while you're in here. Man, I had a buddy at my last church. He was saved for about a year. He came out of federal prison. He had a bullet still stuck in his leg. All right, he's a long-haired, tall, big guy. And whenever I wanted to scare some youth, I went and got this dude, okay? He was just a great guy. But he was just recently saved, and he came to church. You know what? Every now and then, I'd be talking to him in church, and he would let a cuss word slip. But he was a baby Christian. And I didn't chew him out. I didn't say, man, how dare you? I would just say, oh, come on, man. You know you shouldn't be doing that. He's like, I know, I'm sorry. I'm trying. And over time, God worked on him, and he changed. But the last thing he needed was for me to stick my holier-than-thou finger in his face and tell him to shape up or ship out. Because that's not the love of God. I needed to greet him. You know, greeting people means that we greet them where they are. It doesn't mean that we're interested in them and we greet them when they are like us. And I want you to think about it. The most powerful time that God ever greeted us was when he came down to earth, incarnate in Jesus Christ, to live, die on a cross, and raise from the dead. And God didn't do that only after the world was perfect. God didn't do that only after the world became moral. God didn't do that after everybody cleaned up their language. God didn't do that after everybody cleaned up their life. No, the Bible says that for God so loved the world. And world in the Bible doesn't just always refer to earth. World in the Bible refers to the dark, sinful mentality of this earth. For God so loved the people that were living in sin that he went to them. And so our mentality has to be, when lost people come into this place, that I'm going to love you and reach out to you where you are. Now, Jesus, thankfully, when he died for me, he didn't die for me so that I could stay the same way. He died for me because he wanted the best for me. He wanted me to know the love of God. And I'm not talking about the best for me in terms of perfect health and rich and all that kind of stuff, but the best for me in terms of he wanted me to know God. And if you know God, that's the best for you, all right? But Jesus came and died for me so that I could know God, the best thing for me, before I cleaned up my act. Jesus came and died on a cross for me, knowing that later on in my life, I would mess up my act, you know, while being a follower of him. He still did that. God is a God who meets us and greets us while we are where we are. And so if we want to be like God again, we have to genuinely greet others. You know, here's just some simple ways that we can do that as a church. And I want you to think about, are we doing these things? Just think about that as a church family. Number one, are you friendly to people? Are you just genuinely friendly to people? You know, this is something that I've really had to work on. I'm by nature fairly introverted. Okay, I'm by nature somebody that wants to keep to myself. You know, I don't necessarily always want to be around folks. But it's something that I've had to work on, where if I'm going to love people like Jesus loves people, then I've got to talk and open up my mouth and get to know people. I've got to be friendly. Now, I'm not always nice, and sometimes I'm overly friendly. And if you know me, sometimes I just kind of open my mouth and say whatever's on my mind, okay? I might have gone a little bit too far, and I might need to dial it back. I don't know. But are you friendly to people? Do you really want to know them? You know, the next thing is just, how is it that we go about? You know, when you came to church this morning and you saw somebody new, was your first thought, can I get up out of my pew and go and be with them? Your first thought when somebody comes into your Sunday school room is to say, hi, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? Or is your first thought on yourself? Is your first thought on yourself? Because there are people who you see maybe every Sunday and you just get used to them. And so you don't really talk to them. And that's not having the heart of God. You know, and there's simple things that we can do, like have people like that would be willing to greet other people. You know, I'm not going to name any names really, but there's a couple of guys who have started standing out here at this door to greet people, to talk to them, to say hello to them. When I was younger, there was a guy at one of the churches my dad's pastored. Everybody knew him because every kid knew him for sure, because this guy was always there with a smile. Man, God didn't save him till post-World War II, you know, after he hadn't been living for God. And he just decided he was going to do whatever he needed to do to share the love of God. His name was James Butcher. And man, there's no telling how many hundreds of people came to faith in Christ because of James Butcher. I'm telling you. But this guy, all he would do was stand and hold a basket full of candy and hug every single kid that came in there every Sunday morning. That's all that he did. But man, so valuable. Kids come to our church all the time. They don't get hugged on at home. They never get loved on. They don't know what it even is a little bit like to have somebody greet them and give them something. And so do we have somebody that's greeting our children at our church? You know, man, we want to be so friendly that we want to also just, what about meeting people in the parking lot? I mean, you know, sometimes I do stay inside, but there's sometimes where I want to go outside and I meet people at their car. And I probably bug them to death because they just got done fighting with their kids in the car. And they're like, oh, man, the preacher's in the parking lot. We better button it up, you know. just like I do. And I've been, you know, we've had some issues at home in the morning. I'm like, well, I got to preach, so I better, you know, button it up, get it in order. But, you know, just meet people out to where they are, even going outside to see them. You know, are you willing to see somebody that's new here and just take them where they need to go? You know, show them where they need to be. And I know this is just small practical stuff, but I'm telling you, churches don't do it. You can get better service at Lowe's and feel like they care more about you there than going into a church building. It's ridiculous. You know, are you willing just to walk somebody to a class and show them where it is that they need to be? And I encourage you always, always, just remind yourself of this. Have fresh eyes. Have fresh eyes. And I'm not talking about fresh eyes, you know. Don't be staring any ladies down or anything like that. But have fresh eyes in terms of, you know, whenever you come in here, see people for the first time. See them like it's for the first time. Look around you. You know, get your head up and look around you at the people that are sitting in the pew. Notice when they're there and when they're not there. Meet them. See them with fresh eyes. One of the things that we're going to need whenever we have revival is there's going to be a night where we serve a bunch of high school students. And we're planning on serving nearly every high school student that's here in Itasca, middle school to high school. So there's going to be hundreds and hundreds. And one of the things that we're going to need is we're going to need people who are willing to volunteer just to stand at a door, to show them where to go, to smile at them and greet them, not to jump down their throat, not to jump on their case, not to lose your temper. You better be even keel because students will push your buttons. Trust me, I ministered for them for 10 years, and I still hang out with them. They will push your buttons. But, man, you can yell down, you can jump down the throat of a kid for the way that he's acting in church, and he'll never go to another church again in his life because you lost your cool. And we need people who are willing to stand at doors and just love on kids, talk to kids, and just greet them, show them where to go. The same thing goes on Tuesday night. It's going to be kids' night. And, man, I think we're going to serve hundreds and hundreds of kids and their families. We're going to serve them a meal. Then we're going to bring them all here in here. It's going to be a party going on in here, I hope, all right? If you don't like loud noises, don't come, because I'm going to have it cranked up, because we want kids to have fun in this place, all right? Churches should be fun, okay? But we're going to have fun in this place. And are you willing to just serve, to be a greeter? Man, you can be 80, 90 years old. You can be like my mamma in a wheelchair, but my mamma could sit at a wheelchair of a door and smile and hug necks with children as they go by. And it could make an eternal impact, an eternal forever impact in the life of a child. You know, we're going to need people to help do that. Are you willing to greet people? The Bible says that if we only greet people who we are interested in greeting, that we're not like God. And I want us to be Christians, people who follow Jesus, who really care about other people. We really love them. At this time, I want us to have our ushers come forward, and I want us to start the Lord's Supper. And we do this on the first Sunday of every month. And I don't want it to get repetitive because we do it on the first Sunday of every month. So right now, just wherever you are, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I just want you to focus a little bit on what we're about to do. This is for Christians. It's just simply a way to remember that Christ died for us, his blood and his body, what he gave up for us. And it's a time where we can recommit ourselves to living for him. And I just want you right where you are. I'm going to pray, but just focus on, do you have a heart for people like God has a heart for people? Let's pray. Dear Father, we just want to come before you. We want to praise you. And God, don't let us get used to you. God, don't let us get used to the people we see at work every day. Don't let us just get used to the people we walk by every day. But God, let us stop and really look at them and know them like how you know them, and love them like how you love them. And God, forgive me. Forgive us when we're too into ourselves to care about other folks. God, just pray that you would bless this time we remember you, and that you would help us just to be thankful to you, God. In your name I pray. Amen.